T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
My personality was to blame.
What call is that?
I was not afraid to say what was on my mind.
Boomer Esiason.
Esiason, wide open is Brooks. Boomer just threw that football up like it was on a hanger.
Host of Boomer and Geo, mornings on WFAN.
Why don't you just announce it on WFAN?
1988 NFL MVP.
The Cincinnati Bengals AFC champion.
NFL All-Pro and four-time Pro Bowler.
Esiason, the talk of Cincinnati.
Our very own Monday afternoon quarterback.
Chase Daniel, the more you see, the less you're going to like.
Here's Chase back into the gun. He's hit on a release, up in the air, intercepted. Picked up by Conley. Conley's got it.
Boomer Esiason with McNeil and Parkins on 670 The Score.
Cuddle number 7 joins us each and every Monday on this very radio program, the McNeil and Parkins Show. Shep is sitting in for Danny Parkins. Hello, Boom. How are you, man?
I'm doing great, guys. Back in New York and after a very cold day yesterday, but certainly kind of an interesting day, to say the least, especially watching Patrick Mahomes.
Yeah, what an outstanding day. Disappointed Tennessee tackled as poorly as they did. We talked about the 27-yard touchdown run, had a couple of shots at him, and I don't know if it matters if they do stop him on that one. That dude can play a little bit, can't he?
Yeah, he can. He, you know, instead of stepping out of bounds, he decides to run down the sideline. If you watch closely, you'll see that he has the ball in his left hand when he goes along the sideline. When he cuts back into the middle of the field, he instinctively moves it to his right hand to get away from the tackler. I mean, things like that, running backs don't do stuff like that. So, you know, he is so comfortable on the field. He's had, what, 36, 37 games in his career. I'm telling you, Danny, he's never had a bad game. He's never had a bad game. And in the playoffs, in the 4 playoff games that he has played, he's got 11 touchdowns and 0 interceptions. He's got a quarterback rating of 115, which currently is the highest quarterback rating for any quarterback in the postseason. And he just seems to get better and better and better in big games. So he was a can't-miss guy coming, you know, out of college. They waited a year to really get him set to take over for Alex Smith. And the last 2 years, he has been nothing but spectacular. He is literally the best quarterback in the NFL, I think, hands down. I don't think it even comes close. And we've seen that now 2 weeks in a row.
You know, because Tennessee was trailing by as much as they were, they had to abort the mission of Derrick Henry, who had been so spectacular. Do you trust their run defense enough against the 49ers in 13 days? Have you seen enough body of work?
I do. And the reason I do is because, now, you know, the 49ers will get their yards on the running on the ground because that's what Kyle Shanahan wants. You know, everybody thinks Kyle Shanahan is one of these wide open, you know, kind of let's throw the ball 50 times a game. And obviously the last 2 games we've seen that is not the case in the 2 most important games of the year. You know, Kyle Shanahan's dad is Mike Shanahan, and they didn't win the Super Bowl until Terrell Davis took over and really helped support John Elway and run the ball effectively and do it really, really well. And I think Kyle's taking a page out of Mike's playbook in that regard. And I know Mike is still involved. I know he still talks, obviously, a lot with Kyle. Kyle sends him some things each and every week to look at. Mike sends him back reports and things of that nature. So the one thing I will say that both of these 2 teams that are going to the Super Bowl won their playoff games at home. And they did it in the way that we thought that they would do it. In other words, Kansas City was primarily offensive and San Francisco was primarily defensive. But now you're going to a neutral field. I was down at Hard Rock Stadium last week, and the field looks beautiful. It's going to be fast. And I think, you know, the athletes of the Chiefs should be able to do what they normally do. The big question will be whether or not Patrick Mahomes, when he is out of the pocket, can get away from the great athletes along that defensive line for the 49ers.
Yeah, just going to ask you exactly that. How do you make Patrick Mahomes, it's almost absurd to say, have a bad game, how do you make him even appear average for 60 minutes 2 Sundays from now?
You know, he actually did appear average after he came back from his injury, Shep. And the thing, the first game back was Tennessee. He played great in that game. That was a game that they lost. That was a game that we referred back to quite a bit prior to yesterday's game. But after that, his numbers, you know, weren't spectacular. You know, there are a couple games, I think, where he threw for under 200 yards. But the reason they were able to win and they won all these games was because their defense did get a lot better when he was gone. You know, they had to support the backup quarterback, Matt Moore. They had to, you know, stop the run. And this is one of the things that they wanted to do yesterday. And I know that a bunch of the players were talking about it. And you wonder, you know, like a guy like Frank Clark, is he going to continue to talk the way he's talking leading into the Super Bowl, now trying to stop one of the best running teams of football in San Francisco? So on the other side, I think it's just a matter of trying to corral Patrick. You got to get pressure on him with four guys. And what we have seen, you know, time and again in his young career, this is really only his second year. He didn't play but one game his first year. If you turn your back on him as a defender playing man coverage downfield, he's gonna run with it, and he's gonna take advantage of it. But he's not gonna run like Josh Allen runs or Deshaun Watson runs or Lamar Jackson runs. You know, he runs with poise and purpose, and he'll take advantage of every opportunity that's given to him. And he always keeps his eyes downfield. It's a picture poison type of deal. So you better hope, if you're San Francisco, that the four defensive linemen can get the pressure, and you bring a little bit of pressure here and there. You just don't overdo it, and you certainly don't want to play man-to-man. Richard Sherman does not want to be man-to-man on Tyreek Hill. Tyreek Hill will run right past him, and I think that's a big advantage. Is going to be the speed of the track meet that is the Kansas City offense.
So it seems like you're liking quite a bit the chances for Kansas City then.
I do. You know, I know defenses win championships, and nobody knows that better than Chicago Bear fans, I can tell you. And even last year watching New England dismantle the Rams, we saw that defense won that championship. So if you believe in the whole defense wins championships concept, then you would think that the San Francisco 49ers would be favored, especially with the way that they're running ball. But, you know, Jimmy Garoppolo is going to have to play here, and we really haven't seen him engaged here these last couple games. And I want to see him have to make 20 to 25 decisions, throwing the football down the field. So I think that is going to be the crux of this Super Bowl, whether or not Jimmy Garoppolo can live up to his contract and whether or not this defensive line can slow down Patrick Mahomes. I'm just telling you, watching it field level yesterday, it's faster than I even thought it was. You know, Damian Williams out of the backfield made a couple moves right in front of us where our set was yesterday. And you're just like, he took your breath away that he was so fast. You can't believe that he's not still on the Miami Dolphins. So they are a track meet. They can't wait to get out on the field and play. And it seems like they're all having a lot of fun with each other. And then there's also that Travis Kelce problem that seems to be presented to every defense they play against.
Boomer, when we measure greatness of players, it's unfortunate in a team game we so often point to rings, but it's just the nature of the way people are. You know, Dan Marino's greatness has been debated over the years. He got to one, didn't win it. This is the anniversary of that. You got to one, didn't win it. But coaches have a much longer lifespan. Does Andy Reid need to win this game to validate his career in terms of Hall of Fame caliber coach?
You know, not in our eyes, not in the people who have played the sport, have been around the sport. Everybody has a genuine, healthy respect for Andy Reid. I mean, he's probably the most liked guy in the NFL. And that goes for everybody in the NFL. You know, Patrick Mahomes probably selling more jerseys than anybody today. But when you think about the respect factor, what a guy has stood for, how a guy has carried himself all these years, both in Philadelphia and Kansas City and in Green Bay when he was there, by the way. I mean, you know, this is a guy that, you know, has been around a lot. I think a lot of us are rooting for him. There's no question about it. We'd love to have him win that Super Bowl and be able to stand up there. He'll probably be crying like a baby if, in fact, it does happen in a couple weeks. But, you know, I just think that this whole thing about, you know, he's like Marty Schottenheimer right now. You know, he is a top-tier coach. He has taken all different types of quarterbacks and won with them. And now he's got this kid that is just off the charts. And it couldn't have been, you know, when he was drafted, Patrick Mahomes to Kansas City, I think a lot of us felt like, man, he is going to the right spot. This is the best spot in the world for him. And then when you hear Patrick speak so, reverential towards Andy Reid, you say to yourself, man, even the kid realizes that he's in a great spot. So, you know, for me, he doesn't have to validate anything. He's been a great coach for a long time in this league. I believe he is a Hall of Fame coach. I think if you ask any coach that's ever coached against him, they would tell you the same thing. But there's no question a Super Bowl would solidify that. I'm not going to say that it's going to validate anything because I already know the type of coach that he is and the type of person he is, for that matter.
Well said. Boomer Esiason with us on the Alpamonte Ford Hotline. Alpamonte Ford is in Melrose Park. We have a habit here in town, anytime Patrick Mahomes or Deshaun Watson do anything spectacular, Bears fans want pitchforks and torches up in Lake Forest because they passed on both guys. And I try to stay away from it, man, but I get caught up in it too, and I tweeted yesterday, I hope Matt Nagy is watching this AFC title game, because early the Titans kept the ball away from Mahomes after a three and out, and then Andy Reid goes ground Andy in the second half and keeps the ball away from the Titans. Man, ball control can be a wonderful thing, even though people fawn all over Mahomes. When you have an offensive line that can take control, I hope he was watching, and I hope the future of the Bears does include more of an emphasis on great offensive linemen, whether it's via draft or free agency.
Yeah, and running the ball. I mean, I think all of us have seen that success, and obviously the 49ers speak to that. The Tennessee Titans speak to that. Remember, Baltimore was the number one rushing offense the entire season. So everybody wants to be able to run the ball. And I know that it's the quarterbacks that get the big money and the quarterbacks that make the spectacular plays. And you can't say enough with how Patrick Mahomes is playing. I mean, he is playing on a different level right now. It's almost like he's on a playground, and he's not going to be flustered. He's not going to be intimidated. He's not going to be knocked off his game. Now, even if you hit him, he's going to get right back up and he's going to do it again. So I just think running the ball obviously is paramount to success in this league, especially when you play against a explosive offense like Kansas City has. So that would be the number one priority, I think, for San Francisco. And I would like to think that that's the number one priority for every coach. And, you know, with the changes going on in Chicago with the coaching staff now, trying to get a handle on what Mitch Trubisky is, what they think he can be, how they can support him, how they can protect him, how they can get the best out of him, obviously is the number one job for the new coaching staff or the new guys on the coaching staff. Of course, that's going to be Ryan Pace's number one job here in the offseason, trying to get the support, and the protection, on the offensive line to not only be able to run it, but also to play the play action game and be effective like Ryan Tannehill had been up until yesterday for Tennessee. So, yeah, those are all the obvious things that all teams want to do, and I'm sure that's where the Bears are headed.
Looking at this, I know Kansas City rank-wise against the run wasn't great this year. What is that San Francisco, obviously, it's going to tell a story of the game. They're going to either, if they win, it's probably going to be because of a run game that is successful. How confident are you they're able to do that, though? I know you mentioned that Garoppolo is going to have to be, you want to force them to make 20-25 decisions in a game. How confident are you that not like yesterday, at least, is going to happen, but that San Francisco and Shanahan are going to be able to establish that?
Yeah, well, they're going to try. They're going to try their damnedest to. And again, remember, you know, they've won their two games in Santa Clara with their defense smothering the opposing team offenses and getting turnovers. So that certainly helps. You know, last year, I always go back to last year for San Francisco. They only forced 7 turnovers last year, and they were a minus 25. Think about that for a second. Think about how bad that is. Now, this year, it was completely reversed because pretty much everybody's healthy. Garoppolo stayed healthy. That defensive line forces quarterbacks into mistakes, quick decisions, bad throws, bad decisions, all that kind of stuff. So that defense really does help the offense, especially when they play in Santa Clara. But one thing I will say about the Chiefs, their offense has been great on the road everywhere they've gone. They very rarely ever get shut down. They put up a lot of points. As a matter of fact, during Patrick Mahomes' young two-year career here thus far, they're averaging 33 points a game. Think about that for a second. He has never played a bad game, and their offense averages, or their team averages, 33 points a game when he starts the football game. That's insane. So that's why I believe he's on another level. That's why Andy Reid and he make a perfect pair. And that's why I don't think that San Francisco is going to be able to run roughshod over Kansas City at a neutral site. I think Jimmy Garoppolo is going to have to make those decisions. And it's up to him to prove to everybody that he can.
What conclusions can you draw, if you can draw any, from last night's game on Aaron Rodgers and the Green Bay Packers?
You know, I thought they were a good team. I didn't think they were a great team. You know, their running statistics defensively were terrible. They were one of the bottom third in the league. So no surprise that San Francisco is able to do that. You know, I still see the same Aaron Rodgers there. I mean, he needs help on offense. He needs a second and third receiver. You know, Jimmy Graham is not the tight end that he used to be. He's got one top end receiver, and that's Davante Adams. I'm not saying that they need an Odell Beckham Jr. or anybody like that, but they just got to get more out of the third and fourth receivers. Aaron Jones, a great running back. He does have a good offensive line. Their defensive line's got to be rebuilt again because their run defense is not good. I mean, it's, you know, Preston Smith and Za'Darius Smith have been great additions for them via free agency last year, but they were all about the pass rush as opposed to stopping the run. So they know where they're weak and they know what they have to do. They'll be back in the mix next year. You know, the NFC North is going to be a really difficult division once again, and that's why I think, you know, you bring in a new offensive coordinator, you have a new passing game coordinator, or you bump up your quarterback's coach to a passing game coordinator, and then you have a new quarterback coach in there, and you have a lot of guys that have had success with other quarterbacks around the league, and you're hoping that brain trust can get the most out of Mitch Trubisky, because Minnesota's still going to be a good team, Green Bay is going to be a good team, and if Matthew Stafford stays healthy, that's an 8-8 team at worst, and you're thinking, you know, this is going to be one hell of a division all over again next year.
For a team that was fairly incomplete, was it luck? Was it coaching? How did that Green Bay team go 13-3?
I think it's a little bit of everything. You know, they started off winning a game, a tough game in Chicago that nobody thought they were going to win. And then all of a sudden you start gaining a little bit more confidence, and Aaron Jones stayed healthy. That's important for them because, you know, they never really had a run game, and Matt LaFleur, you know, created that run game. You know, remember, Matt LaFleur came from Tennessee, and Tennessee was all about being physical and big and running the football. So it's not shocking that he tried to do that with the Green Bay Packers, and they were able to do that. And again, they did hit on some really great free agents this offseason, Za'Darius and Preston Smith being the two most notable. And that's, if you're a general manager, if you can get a guys like that end up playing all year long like those guys did, you're going to win more than you lose because you have a Hall of Fame quarterback behind center. That's the problem with Chicago. They have, I believe, a playoff-style defense that can give their offense good field position if they get the turnovers. Now, they didn't get the turnovers they did last year, but you got to get more out of the quarterback. The quarterback's got to be, you know, more of a playmaker, and he can't be as frenetic, and he can't play like he's, you know, riding a bucking bull at the PBR. You know, he's got to refine his game, and that's why I think the changes are happening to the coaching staff there in Chicago.
Shep, you got to run your Jimmy G line by Boomer. You got to do it once an hour today, especially
right,
with us being off early on King Day, because Boomer, like me, was born in 1961, and he remembers Bob Greasy.
Okay, Boomer, then I got to ask you, does the G in Jimmy G stand for Greasy?
No, I don't think so. Well, I know what you mean by that, by not throwing a lot of passes yet, still winning, but that's okay.
Turn around, you know, and give it to Zonka.
My man Trent Dilfer did it, and I love Trent Dilfer, and, you know, he won with the 2000 Ravens. You know, the 1985 Bears were a great defense. I think, everybody would admit that to that. So there's nothing wrong with winning with one of your sides of your team, much like the Patriots did last year. You know, the Patriots defense was great at the end of the last year, great in the Super Bowl. Tom Brady didn't have to do all the heavy lifting. But you know what? You're still the champion. You still get the ring. But I know for Jimmy Garoppolo, this is big. This is really big for him because of the world we live in, the social media world, the amount of money that they ended up spending for him and giving him. You know, the interesting thing, I go back to the trade between them and the New England Patriots. Everybody was saying, I can't believe, you know, that the Patriots could only get a number two draft pick from the San Francisco 49ers. Well, I think people would look at that trade today and say that was a good trade by the New England Patriots and not such a good trade for the San Francisco 49ers because they paid them all that money that impacts the salary cap on a negative side.
Boomer, broadcast question before we let you go. How much coaching goes on at NFL today? We've been kicking around broadcasters and whether the networks put much emphasis on language skills and go over air checks with the top guys in the business. How much coaching do you receive at CBS?
Well, if you notice yesterday, they don't really worry about wardrobe either. But I will say that we never really talk too much about what we're going to say. There are a couple times we've had some people come in and talk to some of the people that I've worked with because they needed help with, you know, expanding some of the things that they were, you know, trying to explain. So that kind of stuff happens. But really what you hope for, and I don't know really what you guys are getting to, because I don't know if somebody made a mistake yesterday. Maybe I did.
No.
But most of us are looking for you know, it's kind of cohesiveness and liking each other and being a likable group on TV. And I know we at NFL Today feel very strongly that the five of us that work together on the air, along with Jason Lockenfor, our insider, we all get along fabulously away from the show, which is the most important thing for us. And we want to like each other, have a likability factor, and really enjoy working together.
Yeah, likable goes a long way. You're right. A very likable show. And so is one of the guys we were debating, but he says especially. And I don't pass off especially as acceptable because the guy's an ex-pro player. Do you?
You know, I guess it depends on who the player is and how he's using X specially. So I don't know. Believe me, I've worked with some great guys over the years, and you'd be surprised how many mistakes we make together. I'm like, you would never know it as a viewer because we just got to go right through it because it's live television. But I'm telling you, there were a bunch made yesterday that nobody saw.
All right. Thanks, man. We'll talk soon, Boomer.
Maybe the one thing they did see was a headband and some blue sunglasses that made a statement yesterday.
Take it easy, Boom. Thanks, man.
All right, guys. Have a great day. See you, boys.
We'll see you. That's Boomer Esiason, the 1988 NFL MVP, a Super Bowl participant years back. And, of course, you catch him on the NFL Today. I did not see the NFL Today. He's like, did I say something? No, I didn't see that. I didn't want, there was going to be so much football, I didn't really envelop myself or envelope myself in a lot of it yesterday.
Yeah, as our guy Julio would say, I didn't envelope in it either. But I will say this to Boomer in the NFL Today, that if I do get time on a Sunday morning, it's kind of hard to come by these days, but if I do get time before I'm going to put aside all the time to watch football, that's a pregame show you go to. Otherwise, if you go to Fox and it's, do you get informed on anything? Terry Bradshaw talking to the wall and uttering nothings and nothing of consequence.
Both pregame shows, I think, are pretty good. Once they're in halftime and postgame and they're doing highlights, they have the athletes doing the highlights, and it's not necessarily ex-athletes.
It's tough, yeah.
Not necessarily what Tiggers do best.
And it's, I mean, NFL Network, I know you're a big fan of that during the week, but if you go there on a Sunday morning, it's like, the stage isn't big enough, and here's 9 bodies, here's a 10th, here's an 11th.
Right.
It's like a clown car of different voices popping out for you. If I do choose one, it is 9 times out of 10 it's CBS I go with.
Yeah, we had no David Baker sightings yesterday, at least not that I was aware of.
Hall of Fame's getting shut down.
I did not see Mount Bakemore.
Thank you for everything you've done for the game. Thank you for everything you're going to do for the game.
This hour of the show is brought to you by Vasectomy Clinics of Chicago. Shep is in for Parkins. I'm Mac. We're short today. We've got Bulls and Bucks coming up at the top of the 4 o'clock hour, pregame at 3:45. You're listening to The Score, Sports Radio 6.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout, 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
70
station.
There's a chance that Kansas City scores 600-700 points in this half. They're just that good that they could really pull it off. They're incredibly amazing, and just I just love watching them. I want to kiss them. I want to hug them and just make them my best friends ever.
He does these impersonations. I swear, you would think it was the real people.
There was a Frank Caliendo sighting yesterday on Fox. Man, he has the voice nailed. Tony Romo, that's good.
Yeah, he has the voice, he has the speech pattern down quite a bit. Not quite as good as Gruden, not as good as Madden was back in the day, but a little bit of a work in progress there, but still a solid effort.
If Tanny had not told me before the spot break ended, this is Frank Caliendo doing Tony, I would have thought it was Tony Romo.
You would have thought that was part of the broadcast of Tony Romo saying he's going to make love to Patrick Mahomes.
There's a chance that Kansas City scores 600-700 points in this half. They're just that good that they could really pull it off. They're incredibly amazing. And just, I just love watching them. I want to kiss them. I want to hug them and just make them my best friends ever.
Bottom of the hour is brought to you by the Chicago Wolves. If you want to sign a one-day contract with the Chicago Wolves, it comes with a $5,000 signing bonus. Go to chicagowolves.com/sprint to learn how to win the Sprint Power Play payday. And we also are powered by CarX. Save up to $200 on 4 tires installed at CarX. Bulls basketball coming up in just a little bit. No idea how this thing is going to shake out. Slightly lean toward the Kansas City Chiefs. I'm glad the Chiefs are there, even though I went the other way at the window. Last year I was rooting for the Chiefs. I picked them before this year began, so I sort of needed a redemption song. My NFC
prediction. You had the 49ers and the...
No, I had the Bears.
Oh, okay.
Parkins and I both had a Bears-Chiefs Super Bowl, and that's what I was rooting for him. But because it has been exactly 50 years since the Chiefs have been there, and that was the second Super Bowl I remember watching. Debate as to whether a fan base deserves something or not had earlier today in the hallways here on the 9th floor of the Prudential Building. I don't know. I guess if I don't have a dog in the fight, that typically is what I go to, which fan base has been starved the longest. And certainly in the case of the Chiefs fans, it's been a long, long time. 50 years, man. A lot of things have changed. Nixon's no longer in office, Shep.
And I saw that the guy that took the iconic picture of Len Dawson at halftime of, was it Super Bowl I that picture is from?
Smoking Len
with the the bottle of Fresca underneath him. That photographer died at 84 years old earlier this month, so lasted a year too long for Tanny's liking. Are you familiar?
Is Len Dawson still with us?
Len Dawson's still with us,
okay.
I believe. Yeah. On the other side of that, like Kansas City, a city that has struggled sports-wise, Kansas City, the Royals had a couple of good years here recently, but have gotten back to being awful, won the World Series in 15. Are you aware of how ridiculous the run for the Bay Area has been in the last decade? Where they have had a team in a title round all but 1 year. Giants in 2010 win it all. 2011, they go without an appearance. 2012, the Giants win it all. January of 2013, 49ers lose the Super Bowl. 2014, Giants win the World Series. 15, the Warriors win it all.
Yeah.
16, the Warriors lose the title game. There's a lot of Warriors in here. But then the 49ers back there, in 10 of the last 11 years, they have been represented in a championship round.
They've been blessed from that standpoint. But you know what they don't have? They don't have a hockey team, let alone a Stanley Cup appearance. Well, I guess you could say San Jose.
San Jose, does that count? And which year did they go in the lose of the Penguins?
San Jose is not, it's not, well, how
where's,
far is San
where's
Jose
San Jose from?
From
Santa Clara?
I think San Jose is just a little bit north of, I'm not sure. I don't know that area all that well. It's close to San Francisco, but not right on top of it.
Yeah, I don't know. San Jose, I've always associated with the Sharks being with San Francisco, but I couldn't tell you where that is in proximity.
I don't agree with Boomer on Andy Reid and the Hall of Fame. He may get in even if the Chiefs don't win it or Reid doesn't wind up winning a Super Bowl. But you got a long time as a head coach to win one. As a player, your window is very, very short. You get a dozen years if you're fortunate. Now, quarterbacks tend to play a little bit longer 15 years is a hell of a run. Some guys have been able to make it more than 20 years, but they are the exception and not the rule. I think when you're a head coach in this day and age, I think you got to be a Super Bowl champion for my Hall of Fame vote. And I don't have one, but I would not vote for him unless he won it.
You okay with Bud Grant being in the Hall of Fame? Marv Levy, Hall of Famers.
Both of them.
They went there four times each.
Yeah, both 0-4 in Super Bowl play.
It's also a ridiculous. You win four AFCs in a row. Like Marv Levy did.
It's hard
absurd.
I think that's a remarkable accomplishment. So it's hard for me to say he doesn't deserve it. Yeah, four
but Reed's
straight.
But Reed's only been to two. This is only two for him.
I know. So I know.
And that's in a what? How many year run did you say? Late 90s we're talking? 20-plus year run?
Yeah. All right. We'll re-rack tomorrow at 2 o'clock, thanking Boomer Esiason for joining us today in the geography challenged. San Jose is south of San Francisco. Thank you.
Okay. How close is it, though?
We have been so educated. Yeah.
Thought Nick, we had that part. I didn't think we knew how far south it was.
Shep, thank you for coming off the bench today and not only executive producing us, but sharing the airspace with me. See you tomorrow.
Thank you.
Chris Tannehill is the surgeon of sound. Thank you, Herb Lawrence, for helping out as well. David Schuster is standing by. We've got Bulls basketball coming up. The Bulls and Bucks near the top of the hour. Have Bucks. A great day. Be safe. Be smart. We want to see you back here tomorrow. I'm Danny Mack, and I'm Taillights.
We were just on fire. We had the time of our life. We played just beautiful music all afternoon. We've been going. We've been jamming all day. Today, my dreams came true.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.